When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, let's talk to Raheem Morris as we normally do face-to-face. I'm missing it, man. I'm missing seeing Coach this week.
Yeah, no FaceTime with Coach.
I was just thinking to myself, this is a little weird without being in front of you guys.
Yeah, it is. Just kind of a regular week, huh, Ra?
Nah, man. You know, it's the National Football League. It's kind of how business is done. You know, I just think, you know, you got to handle things the right way. And I think, you know, the organization and the players here have done a nice job of respecting that process. So I can appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm breaking the ice here because we all know that is not the case. This is and has been the story. And I know, you know, you're handling things, as you said, in a professional way. I think the big question for Falcon fans is Michael Penix ready? And if so, what have you seen that gives you the confidence that Mike is ready?
You know, it was less about Michael being ready. It was more about the process that we wanted to have happen. And we wanted that to be one of the things where you can develop in them, get in throughout the year, be able to watch us succeed like we did earlier, potentially make this playoff run, and him get a chance to be a part of all that. You know, but things didn't always go to plan then. And we didn't play well enough at the position. And you got to make that switch. So we always felt like we were drafting kind of a ready-made guy. We actually got a lot of backlash for drafting a guy who was so ready to play because of how much football he played in college and then what he's been doing up until this process with his chance to go good on good competitions, his chance to work on our scout teams, and his chance to really shadow a quarterback that's been in this league having a lot of success for a lot of years. So, you know, we believe he's ready. You know, will he have some rookie blunders or some mistakes? I'm sure. I mean, it's the quarterback position, one of the hardest things you can possibly do in football. But we're willing to go out there and let him go play and let him be the best version of himself.
It is Coach Raheem Morris with us here, guys. Normally, we're in the Ticketmaster studios today, live here in studio on the phone. Coach, I know we asked you for like 4 weeks. What's up with Kirk? Nobody really can pin it. When you go around the room with your coaching staff, and that's the way it was reported, was that how you came to the decision to get the consensus in the room?
You know, so we do that every week. And it really, with the coaching staff, is not the consensus on the quarterback position. It's really just the consensus on how we play. We talk about each position. We go through the process. And we kind of do those things. And then once I go through that stuff, you know, we have our own little deal. We get a chance to get together, myself, Terry, our coordinators, and everybody in that nature. We get a chance to get together and all the decision makers in that process to kind of talk through things. And then, you know, after that, you know, it's up to myself and Terry to make these decisions where how you're going to go and how you're going to move forward. And when these things are presented, obviously we got the support of our ownership. We got the support of our president. We got the support of our CEO, Rich McKay. And everybody's a part of those things. And we kind of go through our process like we're talking about. And I just think it's really a collaborative effort in order to come up to the results that we want to have. And we make these decisions, and particularly me being the face of the franchise, and I can get out and I can make these messages and put out these statements and things that set where we're going to go and where we're moving forward to. It's done together, and it's done on the plane that we all on the same page and we're ready to go. And we've been through our due process, so to speak. And that's just how it works. That's kind of how it works with anything that's going to be a major decision when you're talking about some of those type of moves. And the quarterback is always going to be one of those major decisions.
Coach, I heard Zach say yesterday, it's Raheem Morris, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, that he wants to make sure, you know, the operational side of this, meaning the communication with Michael, is on point. And then, you know, it led me to think, okay, does that mean he's coming out of the booth? Is he going to be on the sideline? Does that make that easier for him? How do you feel about that? Is that his decision, whether he's in the booth or he's on the sidelines?
You know, it's not really about coming out of the booth. Really, when he's talking about the operational things, we're talking about the communication to the sets, getting it to them early so you can go out there and execute what we got to get done. You know, we have motions and shifts in our offense. You know, we have a lot of moving parts. We have protection changes that the quarterback's responsible for. We have a lot of things, right? We have a lot of things that the guy does and most teams do. And I think he wants those things of the operation to be right, how we break the huddle, how we get the personnel in. And, you know, him coming down or him actually standing up in the box really wouldn't affect that. You know, I got a really healthy coaching staff and guys that get a lot of work done and guys that can delegate the stuff that needs to be done on the sideline if he doesn't. If he chose to come down or whatever the case may be, for whatever reason, if that happened, I would fully support that because I know we can get it done from either way. We kind of tried both in the preseason. I don't know if you recall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that process, he called one down, he called one up, and he, you know, absolutely likes being up. So I don't see any changes due to that. So I think we'll go out and be ready to move in the operational standpoint that we've been going all year.
It's Coach Raheem Morris with us here, guys, live from Flowery Branch. Only 17 pass attempts for Kirk last week on Monday night, and that's where it looked, at least from a fan standpoint, that, man, it was really one-dimensional. And all those run plays, 23 of 24 first downs, you ran it. Does the playbook get back to expand? Can Michael Penix Jr. handle all that? I mean, do we expect to see more of the vertical passing game, guys like Pitts get in the mix? That's the ultimate goal, obviously.
You know, you got to think about every game you go into, you got to find a way to win that day. And the way to win that Monday Night Football game was exactly how we did it. Went out and rushed for 156 yards or whatever the case may be there with both backs. You know, Bijan really having a good day. Our O-line really coming off, leading the charge. You know, our defense playing really well and our special teams playing outstanding. And that was the way to win that football game. And we will do and continue to do like we always do, is go out and try to win the game however we need to. And I know in Tampa we went out and threw it for 500 yards. There's been games we went out and ran it for 200 or 200-plus. And we've shown that we're capable of winning anyway. And I think Michael's going to step right into those shoes. And obviously, there'll be some things that we want to do that he does well. But there are also some things that he knows that we've seen him throughout the process this year that he can do that is within the framework of what we want to do on offense. So we'll go out and execute those things in order to try to get a win this weekend.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Coach Raw, I've been asked why you were so patient in this process. There are fans, and you know this, that who believe, okay, why are we not making this change earlier? Do you feel like you should have, now reflecting, now that the change has been made, were you too patient, or do you feel like you felt like this process needed to play out the way it did?
That's always hard to say whether you're too patient or not, and I think that's easy to say from the outside looking in, but we were 6-3. You know, our quarterback that we brought in here wasn't like a guy that we didn't believe in. This was a guy that we definitely thought like I told you before, that we can finish this year out and potentially be competing for a championship the way we were playing and at the level we were playing. And, you know, you can argue that either way, but, you know, you go through a couple of bad games and you figure you could bounce out of that thing, and then you get to the point where finally you make the decision to move on. And when you make that decision, it's just got to be done from within. It's got to be a field thing for you as a leader. It's got to be a field thing for us as an organization. And I think it was well handled by everybody with all hands on deck, Kurt included. You know, the way Kurt was able to handle it, the way Michael was able to handle it, and the way the organization and our leadership group was able to handle it, I think was really done really well, and I think it was done the right way. And I think that's the most important thing. People go through slumps all times in sports, and sometimes people are able to fight through them. And, you know, we felt like we gave them an optimal amount of time to be able to do some of those things. And then, obviously, like I said and I mentioned, we got to get better at the quarterback play, and we got to get better with the lack of turnovers.
And, Coach, obviously, Michael Penix Jr., the pressure. I know we got a lot of reps yesterday, and this is his show now. But is there any scenario where Kirk Cousins gets back under center on that field?
You know, Kurt is number two, you know. And obviously, as you know, the NFL game is a violent game, and we play this game in that manner. So, you know, Kirk's got to stay ready because he's one snap away, just like Michael was previously during the whole point of the season.
We're talking about our football team, guys, the Atlanta Falcons. They have a game, home game, against the New York Football Giants. Coach, what do you see with the Giants? Look, last week everybody is like, oh, the Raiders, they aren't any good. We were fighting at the end. And they're going to say the same thing about the Giants coming in here. The record is not indicative of what those guys are going to do and how they're going to show up on the field. Talk about what you're seeing with the Giants.
It's the National Football League. You know, I'm never going into a game thinking that you got to win going into this league. This is not any other phase of football that we've all played. When you play in the National Football League, when you go to play, you better bring your A game, and you better go out there ready to play at a very high level and ready to go. And these guys are no different, right? You're talking about guys that got a dynamic young wideout and Malik Nabers and what he's been able to do this year and getting the ball thrown to him. And he's got a bunch of receiver buddies out there, one that's leading them in third downs, doing some really good things. They play with a bunch of quarterbacks out there this year. You know, their O-line was rebuilt and redone to be able to run the football. They got a young running back that's really stepped in to fill some big shoes. That's in Philadelphia now, and he's done a nice job throughout the year. And his defense started off one of the better defenses in the National Football League, but particularly when it came to rushing the passer. You know, fought a couple of injuries, particularly the big guy inside. Got one back in Thibodeau, got a chance to still get out there with Burns, still got pretty high-level edge rushers, and their secondary has been banged up a bunch with Banks and some of those guys going down. But, I mean, you're talking about a professional football team that's well-coached by a guy that I got a lot of respect for in Dave's, got a lot of respect for some of their defensive guys that I know very well, like we do, and Jerome Hinton, some of those guys. But this team will be ready, and they'll be ready to fight, and we got to be ready to match that energy.
Hey, one of the things that went really well on Monday night was teams, man. I mean, the Marquise guys were flying all over the place. The two-block punts, the blocked extra point, which was big. And then Koo, you got to move on from Koo, and Riley Patterson comes up. Has Koo just not been right the last few weeks? You give him a pass because of the injury?
No, you know, he hurt himself a few weeks back, kind of bounced back from that and was going, and then kind of re-injured it during the game, in the game, and came out when he told his reporter to us after the game. It was one of those things you got to deal with, so you got to make a decision. To have a chance to get him back at some point, so he put him on IR. So, like, you know, hopefully we all able to do what we want to do around here and be able to move forward and probably get Koo back. So it is what it is if we can get to these playoffs or whatever the case may be. But, like, we got a lot of love for Koo. And, you know, everybody fights through injuries. Everybody fights through things, particularly this time of the year and the season. And it just got to him, particularly on that last kick. And it is what it is. And we'll figure out things. We'll figure out what we need to do. We got the young man coming in here that's kicked for us, that's been in here for a little bit for us, got a chance to claim him, to get him into our building and get him part of our ethos, and I'm fired about that for our special teams. And, you know, the job they did on Monday night, you know, can't go without being spoken about, you know, whether it's field position, whether it's Bradley Payne punting the ball, pinning them back, you know, allowing us to play some backed-up defense and get a safety, or was our guys covering, going down there, really playing smart football. And I was fired to see our guys do that in coverage and in both our return game.
Rod, with Kirk being such a leader on this football team, do you feel like there will be a void? And if so, who's going to step up with Penix getting his opportunity now as a rookie quarterback?
You know, Kirk's such a grown man. Like, Kirk's going to fulfill a role for us that, you know, that only he can because of the adult, the leader, the man, the supporter that he is. You know, obviously this week will be a different curve for him going through the process that he's going through and how you get to your leadership roles and how do you be helpful. But we got a lot of coaches in place that can fill some of those void for us that we're going to miss from being able to communicate things to the players at a high level. You know, and then there's guys on our team that we still got. You know, our O-line You know, the whole room is pretty much leadership driven. You know, we got two young backs that are absolutely studs, great humans, and we got a receiver room that is some of the best people that I've been around in football, just in general. So, like, I feel really good about our offensive leadership. I feel really good about our coaching staff. I feel really good about the direction we can go with the offense and how we move forward.
And Coach Rob, because he's a lefty, obviously McGarry now, who did a great job with Lindstrom running the football, run blocking, can they protect him? Should we expect to see Warner and more of the guys helping out Chipping?
It's a little bit different. You're always going to get chips and things of that nature, particularly when you play against a guy like Burns and Thibodeau. But you know, like, it's a little bit different than it was back in the day. It was more up under passing game just in general. With guys being in the gun now, you know, that's kind of tilted a little bit on, you know, which one is more important, blind side or backside. But a lot of gun football, not as much three-step and old five-step, seven-step drop that we're used to because we're old, but not as much of that anymore. So, like, not as important, but definitely still a factor.
Rob, I want you to talk about the kid, if you would. I mean, Brian Snicker, manager of our Braves, right? He's won a World Series, has a phrase. He says, kid's got a slow heartbeat. When these big moments come up and a guy's up to bat and he needs a hit and he's got to drive in a run, you know, he talks about this. And that's kind of what I've heard about Penix. Can you talk about how even keel he is and he does he have this slow heartbeat thing that we're talking about?
You know, that's a very good phrase. You know, I've never used that before, but, I mean, it's a very good way of describing who Michael Penix is. The moment never feels too big. You know, even if it is, the moment never feels too big for him, whether we're talking about the draft process, we're talking about being drafted, or we're talking about coming out here, being a number two, you know, being a grown adult and really being out there and being able to contribute in any way that he could. And then now stepping into these shoes, you know, the humility that the kid carries and the things that he's able to do every day on a day-to-day basis is something that we definitely – coveted, and now we've got a chance to come to fruition when we get out there. So, like, whether the moment is too big or not, guess what, man? We'll find out on Sunday. And I can't wait, and I'm fired up for the young man.
Red lids, the old school unis, it's going to be electric. I think everybody in the city is buzzing about Penix, man. Good luck.
All right, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
You don't miss us? You don't miss us?
I told you, you know, it's really weird not being with you guys on person. Mm. This is like my couching session.
No doubt. Right.
Yeah, so I miss you guys.
Hey, Rob, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Happy holidays, and let's go get a dub.
Hey, you guys have a great holiday.
Raheem Morris, Mike, we were just talking about Penix. How many times are going to let him throw it, you said to me?
I was just asking Carl during the replay of the interview, what do you think the over-under is for throwing? Because you could argue the Giants are so bad in run defense. Now, they get after the quarterback, no joke, but you could think the Raider game plan could be basically rinse-repeat. Run the ball 25 to 35 times. But again, we're not trying to put too much pressure on this guy. The big pressure comes against the Commanders.
It does. I would tell you if he goes, I don't know, 25, he throws it 25 times and is 18.
I'm going to say 20. I'll say 20 is a number.
Yeah, 18, you know, completions. I would be very happy with that. But, again, within the flow of the game plan. Hey, coming up, we're going to hear from Caden Ellis, guys, because how do the players feel? Wait until you hear what he has to say about this move next.
I was just telling Carl, you know, Atlantaitis kind of creeps into every conversation. And for those that are new to the phrase, you know, this impending sense of doom that nothing's ever going to go right for us. You know, like with the Braves, are we ever going to, you know, get back to, you know, the World Series? And even though we got a big-time roster, Carl, and a lot of money invested, but are we going to spend any money than anything in the offseason? I get that. You know, the Hawks have been so much negativity the last few years. Now they're fun to watch. And now, after being over the moon at 6-3 and then losing four of our last five, now all of a sudden I'm stoked again for this Michael Penix Jr. I cannot wait. Maria Martin, who covers the Falcons up there for TV Land, saying that talking with the coach and apparently Jimmy Lake on the defensive side, they brought an exotic blitz and normally a corner wouldn't blitz from the position. Mike, talk about Michael Penix Jr. Felt it, Carl, ripped a 15, 18-yard touchdown. No, yeah, and we talk about practice. But basically showing some exotic looks that you know the Giants with a very aggressive blitz package will probably do the same likewise. They can't stop the run, but they will certainly try to trip him up with some looks which he has not seen on film.
It makes me feel good. To your point, yes, I'm excited, and you should be too. Ultimately, his play is going to excite us even more. But yes, Mike, those are the things you want to hear. We always talk about this. If it was the opposite, man, they ran this unique, exotic scheme against Penix, and he folded like a cheap suit. You would be like, what?
Right.
I mean, it's good to know he's seeing it. He's picking it up. We're testing him. That's fine. That's good stuff, man. That's what we want to hear. So I'm all for it. But yes, that whole Atlanta, itis thing,
right,
that plays out whenever there's a big change or we get a new player or whatever the circumstances may be.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We boxed ourselves into this because, and again, could you have put, I'll still debate it with Coach Rob, but could you put Penix in knowing that Kirk was really struggling against the Chargers and just say, look, hey, man, Kirk was having a tough day. He's still our number one. I just thought we had to change the energy. And that's fine. And there's a controversy after that. You do the best you can. The Falcons are good at controlling the message, right?
They are.
It didn't happen. So now we need some help. But I do still think you can do the wild card thing. I mean, the wild card situation, especially, guys, if you can get the Eagles, and I think the Eagles can certainly take out the Commanders for us, tighten that up in the wild card, because that's basically the only spot available. We can't catch the Vikes, we can't catch the Packers, we can't catch the Commanders, and we get them head-to-head next Sunday.
That's a big game, man. It's a Sunday night game. They flexed it, so that makes it even a bigger scale, especially for Michael Penix and company. All right, let's talk about what Caden Ellis had to tell us, because he stopped by the show earlier today, and we asked him about this quarterback change. When did he find out? What was his reaction, and what did the defense think about it?
Yeah, I found out what most of y'all did. And it was one of those things where, mixed emotions. You got to have the resilience and excitement behind the guy that, they put in. And at the end of the day, that doesn't have to be faked at all. It's true. It's real. When we drafted Mike going in training camp, I was pretty excited. We do a lot of ones versus twos, and I was like, yeah, we get a rookie quarterback we get a feast on. I don't care what slot we drafted him at. I'm about to pick this kid off a couple times a day, and I don't think I got him once all practice or all camp. He's a very mature rookie. He sees the field extremely well, and he's got a gun for an arm. So the excitement's real there, and knowing he's coming in, knowing he's going to do his thing is awesome. And, talking about Kirk right before him, I think maybe the most exciting thing about Mike is he's gotten to watch Kirk do it. And he's gotten to watch him do it at such a high level. Kirk Cousins is one of the favorite teammates I've ever had in my life. He's one of the best leaders I've ever been around in my life. And I'm really excited that Mike got to watch him do it. And Mike got to watch him do it in some pretty special moments. He watched Kirk win the game against New Orleans for us. He watched Kirk win the game against Philly for us. He watched Kirk win the game with 509 yards passing against Tampa Bay for us. And so at the end of the day, it's one of those things where it sucks that one of your leaders has to take a step aside right now. But at the same time, he's still one of our leaders, and he's led the guy that's going to step in and lead us now in a pretty special way. So mixed emotions, but at the end of the day, excitement, while also appreciation for what's happened.
You know, Caden, you've been in the league now 5 years and counting. So, I mean, everything you just said about Kirk, we felt the same way. And we love talking our conversation with Penix when we drafted him. Have you ever seen anything like it? It's kind of no one can seem to put their finger on how it went the way it went with Kirk.
Yeah, I don't know. You look at yourself in the mirror first off, and it's like, dang, I really wish our defense would have put our offense in a better situation in a few of those games, Denver, New Orleans. I don't feel like New Orleans should have moved the ball on us that second game. We allowed them to get some points up, and then all of a sudden, Kirk and our offense has to play a different type of game. Denver, I think Sean Payton was 100% in the red zone against us. That's unacceptable, and it's one of those situations, again, where we had to put our offense in a vicarious situation and make them pretty one-dimensional. So you look at a couple moments like that, that's really what I'm looking at. It's like, dang, as a defense, obviously we've made strides these last couple of weeks. It's one of those things that you wish you started hotter, and it's just more motivation to make sure that never happens again and to continue moving forward.
Caden Ellis, our guest, guys. Defensively, you mentioned Raw, even, Jimmy Lake. Everybody's kind of putting their hands or their fingerprints on this thing. Can you, without giving anything away, what's changed? Is there anything that specifically has changed, Caden?
There is, but I think we'll keep some of it close to the chest right now.
Okay.
Obviously, I think great offensive minds will probably be able to look at the film and figure a lot of it out, but I'll make those great offensive minds do that. Let's talk about it after the year. How about that?
Fair enough.
Cool.
No, that's cool.
And we talk about leadership, but the way you describe, what you guys need to do on defense, that's the definition of leadership. Hey, man, so what's the vibe in the locker room about? I mean, Carl just gave the percentages as you were coming on air with us. I mean, do you guys feel you can get this job done, even though you do need the Bucs to trip up?
Yes, 100%. The answer to that is quick yes, but I'm just trying not to think about the Bucs. I just want to think about us. Just one week at a time, one game at a time. Like right now we've got a playoff game this week, and that's how we have to view it. As far as I'm concerned, let's go 3-0 these last three games, 4-0 from the Raiders on, and put ourselves in the best situation we possibly can from that moment on. it is what it is at this point. We were 6-3, ended up 6-7. Now we're 7-7. Let's finish 10-7. Do the best we can. Put everything we best foot forward. And treat each game like a playoff game. And I do believe that if we do that, the true playoffs will start.
Morale's good. What's the morale like?
Morale's great.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm figuring it is with this change, but, you know, you just never know. We've heard from various guys, and right. I'm hoping that you guys, and I know you are, but I'm hoping guys are excited about what's in front of us here over the next 3 weeks. Caden Ellis, before we let you go, man, tell us about the Giants, because we asked Coach, and he was like, look, forget the record. They're going to show up.
Yeah, they're going to show up. You know, a lot of respect for their head coach and their coaching staff. You know, they've done some really good things in their past together, and the team – you know, from watching film, they haven't given up at all. They haven't thrown the towels in. I don't think they've made their plans yet for Cabo this offseason. at the end of the day, it's still pretty impressive how hard they're playing. They got some really talented guys outside. I know Drew Locke, I played him in college. He's a pretty high draft pick. He's got a very special arm, a live arm. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, he can throw that rock. So they're going to put it up to those guys. And the O-line running backs are playing hard. So that's a tough combination any week. So we got to come prepared, come ready, and get ready to dominate these guys.
All right, man. Complimentary football. Take the pressure off of Michael Penix Jr., man. We appreciate the time, as always. Have a Merry Christmas, too, Caden.
Merry Christmas. God bless.
Caden Ellis, one of our favorite dudes, just because he keeps it real and always is upfront and honest about things. The whole defensive change, and we discussed this earlier, guys, is we're getting more sacks.
Right.
How that's happening is what he's saying I want to keep close to the chest or keep close to us. But I think 4 sacks against the Raiders, 4 against the Vikings, and then 5 against the Chargers. That's 13 sacks in the last 3 weeks after we came out of the bye.
Thing is, it still gets us 2 dead last in the NFL.
I know.
And again, if we just gotten maybe 2 more sacks and gotten the Jesse Simmons. Here's the thing. A what if Simmons get – or Justin Simmons, I should say, gets 2 – Sam Darnold gets him on the ground on that safety blitz, and we beat the Vikings. Is Cousins still the QB?
Probably.
Right?
Probably.
What ifs?
It's 21-21, Mike, right, in that game, and then it just got away
from
us.
Then Ray jacked up the punt, and that's all she wrote.
All right, we're coming back. Hey, Hawks back in action tonight. Hawks fever!
Catch it!
We're going to talk about it. They got the Spurs in Wimby. It's all coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.